When might the enemy of your enemy be your friend? Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today in studio, mind you, we're here today in the studio, is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, fellow analyst, and my very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
All I can say is, Lord bless this mess.
Amen. Well, you know, folks, sometimes when I throw that opener in, you probably are wondering, what in the world are they going to talk about today? Well, today we're going to talk about an organization that we've talked about before, and we've not had so many very nice things to say about it. But in light of some things that have been happening in and around that organization and other groups that have been involved, we might have to maybe give a little grace, I think, in certain respects, but not in others, because we do have to hold them accountable for their actions as well. The organization that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC for short, who has been coming under quite a bit of fire in the media over the last few weeks by having very, very well-known and prominent businesses and organizations who were supporters of ALEC pull out, stop supporting, cut off the funding, disassociate from the American Legislative Exchange Council. Now, Chuck, this was supposedly triggered by the revelation, which wasn't much of a revelation.
No.
That the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is a private group of legislators from all the states, these are what you could consider the rock-solid conservative types, mainly.
Yeah, they tout themselves as a Jeffersonian,
limited government, free market
lobbying group
that is comprised of many lawmakers, of whom some are our friends, who are members of ALEC, but it also includes major corporations who can be members as well. And it's in that respect that the issues coming up, because these major corporations who have probably been a big part, and we couldn't find out exactly who they were. We've talked about this on this program before, that their membership lists and their funding sources are very well-kept secrets behind firewalls and $2,500 a year membership thresholds.
Well, individual membership.
Individual memberships.
And at one time, we tried to raise some money so we could buy an individual membership, and we were unable to reach that goal. I don't necessarily have a problem with ALEC keeping their membership rules secret, because it keeps things like is happening now from happening.
That's right. It can.
Because what is going on is, essentially, there are a number of very far left groups and fellow travelers.
Before we get to that, though, let's make sure that folks are understanding. Yeah. The issue that these companies are pulling away from ALEC on is stand your ground laws.
Right.
Which is associated with the issue with George Zimmerman and the shooting of Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. Because that's part of the defense that Zimmerman's attorneys are using is Florida has a stand your ground law, and so therefore he had the right in self-defense to shoot Mr. Martin when they had their altercation. Well, and this is where we're coming back in, what you were talking about. Some very liberal organizations kind of did the math and put the puzzle pieces together and realized that the source of the template for most of these stand your ground laws that are starting to pop up in various states around the country was indeed the American Legislative Exchange Council, who create model legislation and templates, who then their organizational member legislators go back to their home states and then introduce.
Right.
And they do other things as well. There's a whole, shall we say, buffet of various policy templates that ALEC puts forth, from everything from economic issues to elections issues to what they consider public safety issues, which is where these stand the ground laws come, to things that we find a little distasteful. They talk about limited government, but then they want to open up the Constitution for a constitutional convention in order to get economic freedom.
Well, the reason they want the constitutional convention is sound. Their reasoning for what it will do is not sound. So we give them kudos for at least making an attempt. However, we give them bad marks for doing their homework and hiring people who basically, shall we say, are propagandists and are not actually interested in the truth. And this is one of the problems you run into, because one of the bad things that ALEC is involved in laws to enhance the sale, shall we say, and protect industries like Monsanto with their GMO foods.
Yeah, the genetically modified organisms.
And in fact, they are getting state legislatures to pass laws that will allow Monsanto to sue farmers who don't take Monsanto seed and end up with Monsanto genes in their crops because cross-pollination and those kinds of things. It's impossible to stop because birds and bees and moths and insects spread pollen. That's their job. And sometimes that pollen ends up in a place where it's not supposed to be. And Monsanto is suing farmers for patent violations for having these genes. I've always said the farmers, in turn, should file countersuits and say that Monsanto has ruined their pristine crops with their genetically modified organisms. The problem being that, of course, Monsanto has wheelbarrows full of money and most farmers don't. So, that being the case, my problem in this is sometimes we have to look at the whole picture with Alec, and we also have to take a look at the Stand Your Ground laws themselves, because does the Trayvon Martin case really have anything to do with Stand Your Ground? And the answer is, well, no.
No, it actually doesn't, because as the case is unfolding and you understand what the fact pattern is around that case, Stand Your Ground is when you're basically going about minding your own business, and then you are assaulted and you just happen to be carrying a firearm or some other form of deadly weaponry or ordnance, and you use it to defend yourself, and in the course of defending yourself, you end up taking the life of the attacker. It's very unclear who was the attacker and who was the attackee in the Trayvon Martin case at this point.
Well, we do know that George Zimmerman ended up on the underside of the pileup, having his head bashed against the pavement.
And as to who initiated said altercation is still left open to some interpretation.
So what is happening here is that something in which all the facts are not known is being used as a wedge. Big surprise. The left is using a wedge in which all the facts are not known to come to an outcome that they want, which is they're playing into the hands of the gun grabbers and those who would make it impossible for people to defend themselves with a firearm to attempt to once again start another round of gun control. That's really what this is all about. And groups like ALEC are involved and stepping in making it possible for us to do concealed carry in which we can protect ourselves. This is one of the things why ALEC needs to have a pat on the back for these issues. Here's the problem. What has happened since their corporate support has pulled out, Barry?
What has happened? First of all, this is some of the corporate support that's pulled out. Today, as we're recording this, Procter & Gamble, who are based here in Cincinnati, have announced that they're withdrawing from ALEC. We've had Yum Brands, which is Taco Bell, KFC, Pepsi, have withdrawn. Coca-Cola, a soft drink giant, has withdrawn. Wendy's International, based here in Dublin, Ohio, has withdrawn from their participation or association with ALEC. And another group... Coca-Cola.
Coke.
But the other group is the Gates Foundation.
Yes,
so
the Gates Foundation.
So Bill and Melinda Gates, who you would not think would be supporting, shall we say, limited government Jeffersonian conservative causes, were... They only funded a small grant stream for educational outreach. Now, mind you, Charles. Let's not kid ourselves. Okay.
Yeah.
This is an interesting admix of corporate giants and social leftists with big, deep pockets who are funding an organization that's supposedly out there based for limited government, but only limited to those major corporate interests.
Well, that's right. Okay, why would the Gates Foundation fund a Jeffersonian think tank and lobbying group on educational issues? Because I can tell you that the Gates Foundation is all for state-funded and state-run education. What kind of influence was the Gates Foundation trying to buy, and what kind of lobbying were they trying to get ALEC to do with that money? That's a real question I have, and maybe I would say perhaps ALEC is better off without the Gates Foundation money, even though that's less money in the coffers. Perhaps they're just better off without that particular influence. My fear here is that ALEC has already stated that they are folding up operations on certain kinds of lobbying.
Well, basically what they've said in response to today's Procter & Gamble announcement is, and this is coming from their national chairman, who is a state legislator himself by the name of David Frizzell from Indiana, basically in a news release said, "We're refocusing our commitment to free market, limited government, pro-growth principles and have made changes internally to reflect this renewed focus." And the announcement was that they were disbanding their Public Safety and Elections Task Force. If you go to ALEC's website, you can see that their organization is broken down into various task force-driven areas. like civil justice, commerce, insurance, economic development, communications technology, education, energy, environment, agriculture, health and human services, international relations, and our favorite, tax and fiscal policy, where they start driving for an Article 5 Constitutional Convention. But they are disbanding the Elections and Public Safety Task Force because that was what generated the Stand Your Ground models.
Well, another thing that they were working on was the model legislation to require IDs for voting.
Yes, voter ID.
And that's right. This is a big deal this year, and for very good reason. It's turning out that in 2008, especially in good old Ohio, apparently in the Cuyahoga County and the Lake Region,
yes,
tremendous voter fraud was occurring in Ohio. And in fact, it was well known by the McCain campaign on election night. And McCain, I guess a pat on the back to him for this, basically said, okay, we're not going to do another 2000 here.
Voter fraud in Cleveland? I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like in Chicago.
That's
yeah.
About
haven't
it.
You voted four times already today? Yes, but I came in as four different people.
That's right. But I understand exactly what you're saying. But that's the key, because what happens is the reason why these corporations are withdrawing from ALEC has less to do specifically with the fact that they put together a model for Stand Your Ground laws and more to do with an organization called Color of Change.
That's right.
Now, Color of Change is a hardcore leftist, progressive, liberal, I don't care what moniker you want to use for them, they are a leftist bully organization. They are coming in and threatening major boycotts of these companies, many of whom, like Coca-Cola and like some of the others, who are, and the Gates Foundation, who are liberal to start with, who are more in line with liberal causes than they are with conservative causes. And so, therefore, the Color of Change threat of a boycott and public, shall we say, outing of these corporations' dalliance with a conservative group like ALEC would have caused them some significant bottom line difficulties in their revenue stream. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boycotts do work. The American Family Association has been right all along. Boycotts work well. But the point is, Color of Change is a driven organization that is, I'll just come out and say it, part and parcel of the re-elect Obama campaign.
Oh, sure it is. Of course it is. That is the bottom line here, Barry. That's what this is all about. And if you can't get him reelected, then the other part of the equation is to make things so difficult and ugly this summer. Again, we're going to do another. I have a feeling that 1968 might look like a cakewalk, very easily be made like a cakewalk this year. We'll know sometime around May 1st, because that's supposed to be Occupy Wall Street, which is sounding very radical revolutionary these days.
Yes, it
is. That's their kickoff date.
Well, and May 1st happens to be May Day, which happens to be a communist holiday.
That's right. It's the anniversary of the founding of the Illuminati, which is a communist holiday.
A communist holiday. That's right. Let me go back, because I went to Color Change's website, and they say it right up front here. It says, stop corporate-funded voter suppression. He said, the right wing, and they're talking about ALEC and others, have been trying to stop black people, other people of color, young people, and the elderly from voting. And now some of America's biggest companies are helping them do it. And, of course, that's where they're beating on ALEC. Now, Color of Change, their mission is strengthening black America's political voice. Using the internet, we keep our members informed and give them ways to act on pressing issues facing black people in America. We are united behind a simple, powerful pledge. We will do all we can to make sure all Americans are represented, served, and protected, regardless of race or class. But we won't say that we should have strong voter ID laws so we don't get a Cleveland or Chicago situation.
Well, let me ask a question, and this is the question that everybody should be asking here. How is anyone's right to vote in any way jeopardized by having to show a picture ID in order to vote?
It is not.
There are rare occasions where you might have to go to the state and pay $5 for a picture ID, and please don't tell me you can't afford $5 for a picture ID. Honestly, this is a way to stop people from doing weird things like going into mental institutions and applying for absentee ballots and, quote, helping people vote who really have no business voting. This is the kind of things that kind of a law is designed to stop, and the kind of thing that this Mr. Robinson and the Color of Change want to be able to continue, because they're garnering thousands and thousands of votes that should never be cast.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, we know that's nothing new.
Yeah, it's nothing new. But that gets us down to the reason why the enemy of our enemy sometimes is our friend, because in this game, ALEC is not the big enemy. color of change really is, because
right.
they're partially behind Occupy Wall Street. They're definitely behind fomenting racial tensions in this country and doing so under the color of social justice. Therefore, today we're kind of giving some kudos to Alec for taking this heat, but not bowing down to the pressure.
Yep, a little bit of molasses to soothe the sulfur we've been feeding them for the last 3 years.
I guess so.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.